Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Wonderful to be together. Great to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to Romans chapter 11 again, but before I read our passage for the day, let's come before our Father in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be together like this again. Thank you for the opportunity to open up your Word and study it. And we just pray that you would give us hearts that are susceptible to your teaching, minds that are ready to think clearly, and that you would give us eyes to see beautiful things in your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 11, starting at verse 17 and going through to 24. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing fruit of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember that it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then that the kindness and the severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? I'm not sure if you're much of a herbalist or agricultural person. Maybe you're good with plants, maybe you're terrible with plants. There's one person in our family who has a special talent for killing plants, and it's not me. But I wonder if you've ever seen someone do work like grafting before. We have an olive tree. I've been thinking about the passage. We've got a tree outside which grows avocados, funnily enough, because it's an avocado tree. But you get the point. We've got an avocado tree outside. And unfortunately, we managed to break it with a digger. And so we had to try and fix it. And in the process of trying to fix it, we did a whole bunch of work. And then we remembered that just off in the distance, there was another avocado tree that had been really brutally attacked by the sheep. And they had stripped it clear. And so when I looked at it, I saw a dead tree and thought to myself, well, rip it out and throw it out. But a friend who was here, he is very good at looking after plants, horticulturalist, and he said, don't worry, I'll fix it. And so he went to the tree that we had fixed, and he took a few of the little stems, a few of the little branches, and a few of the little leaves and bits and bobs, and he took them over to this old, broken, damaged tree. And he cut the tree off so that it was just a stump. It was about a foot high, maybe a bit longer, but about a foot high. And then he took a blade and he cut into the tree at the very top. He just cut these little segment dashes into it. And then he took these stems and he took these little leaves and he put these things into it and put some special ointment on it and taped it all together. And then, that was my daughter, Letty Bevan. And then he left it. And I looked at it, and to me, being the novice, I looked at it and thought to myself, there's no way that this does anything. Well, that was probably about 3 months ago, maybe 6 months ago now, time flies. And I was out going for a walk in the paddock this morning. I walked past, and there are these massive big shoots growing up. These big shoots have been grafted into the stump, and they've taken root and grown. I could easily go out there and cut them off again, couldn't I? I could easily go out there and rip them off. And I could easily go and find a different set of branches and graft them in instead. Well, it's that imagery that Paul uses to address a real problem in the Gentiles. You see, Paul's been talking about the fact that it was through the stumbling of the Jews that the Gentiles were saved. Now, there's a problem in that. Not for the Jews. Well, I mean, there is because they're stumbling. But there's a problem in that knowledge for the Gentiles. And the problem is that they might be given to arrogance. So Paul says, verse 18, "Do not be arrogant toward the branches." So he paints the picture of the Gentiles like wild branches that are grafted into the true tree of Christ, into the true vine of Christ. And of course, there's a problem in that. And the problem is that the Gentiles might be tempted to look around at their Jewish brethren and those outside the church and think that they're superior, think that they're important, think that they did something to deserve it, think that they earned it. And the problem with that is, well, it's all false. It's all completely wrong. And so Paul addresses this issue. Since God has done such an amazing thing through the stumbling of the Jews, the Gentiles might be given to arrogance. And yet Paul says, don't be arrogant. Do not give yourself over to arrogance or self-conceitedness because of the fact that you were saved and the Jews missed out. And he gives four reasons why. And firstly, he points out that they didn't save themselves. Have a look at verse 18. If you are, remember, it is not you who supported the root, but the root that supports you. In other words, that little branch which my friend went and put into the stem in order to make the branch grow or leaf, I can't show how experienced I am, I can't even remember what part he used. But since he took that part and plugged it in, it's not the part, it's not the shoot that causes growth to happen, is it? No. It's the tree and the specialist who plugs them in. In other words, the reason, O Gentile, that you are plugged into Christ is not because you did anything, but because Christ exists, and you, by the Spirit, were bound into it. So the first reason you have no ability to boast or be arrogant or self-conceited is because you didn't save yourself, but God did. Secondly, we must not be arrogant because we must stand firm to the end. And so, in verse 20, he says, "They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you must stand fast through faith." You must stand fast through faith. You see, there's a temptation, isn't there, to think to yourself, well, I'm in now. I'm in. And so that's enough. Do you have to sit your head on my Bible? That's really helpful. We're tempted to think, I'm in and that's enough. And Paul wants to point out to us that rather than being arrogant, you probably need to focus on remaining plugged to Christ, on continuing as you started. So firstly, we recognize we're not saved. Secondly, we recognize we need to get to the end of the race. We shouldn't be like the runner who celebrates before he gets to the victory line. I wonder if you've ever seen one of those videos on YouTube where there's the person running to the end of the race and they start celebrating, yeah, 101, and then they like fall over and then they lose the first place or someone blasts past them. You know, we must run the race ahead of us. And then when we've arrived, we can boast in Christ, for he's done everything anyway. Thirdly, we must not be arrogant because we need to fear God. Because it's only he who can save and destroy. Have a look at the end of verse 20. So do not become proud, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you too will be cut off Now, one thing you have to be really careful with this passage is to treat it as a treatise on how people are saved and whether they continue in their salvation or not. This is not a treatise on whether people persevere to the end, whether there's perseverance of salvation as a doctrinal point. That's not Paul's point. Paul is looking at things from our perspective. And from our perspective, God is cutting off the Jews and bringing in the Gentiles. And from our perspective, people may claim to come in and be part of the vine and yet still be cut off. So don't boast as if you've achieved it. For it's by God's kindness you were saved, and it's by God's severity that people are cast off. And therefore, we must continue not to earn our salvation and stay in the vine, but we must continue in his kindness. We must strive to the end of our days in the goodness of what God is doing in our life. So firstly, we recognize that we didn't save ourselves. Secondly, we realize we must stand firm. Thirdly, we must fear God as the one who gives and takes away. And then fourthly, we must remember that God can save the Jews again. Verse 23. Even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back in to their own olive tree? You see, it's easy for us to look down upon those who are lost, whether they're Jew or Gentile, and to think superior thoughts about ourselves. It's really easy for us to look at unbelievers or people who have walked away from the church and think to ourselves, well, I'm in the church. Look at me. You know, I've stayed in the church. I've walked faithfully before God. Look at these dirty Jews over there. Look at these dirty unbelievers over here. God saves whom he wants. We've already seen. It's God's free will that saves people. So we must not be arrogant, because God can equally save those people again. So if we shouldn't be arrogant, what should we be? Well, we should be immensely grateful, but then also we should have a passion to save them. Because God can save them again. God can take those Jews who stumbled and graft them back into the tree. It should also fill us with hope, shouldn't it? For he can graft our loved ones back into the tree. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this reminder that people can be grafted into the body. And we do pray that you'd help us not to have arrogance, not to boast, but to cling firmly to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for another day. I'll see you tomorrow.